All the way from England, it seemed. There had been a week of curious tensity, and then certain things had happened. A very distinguished officer had committed suicide. Another had resigned. Anxious faces had suddenly lost their anxiety. Certain military precautions were relaxed, and the general, Lieutenant Dubosc's own particular general, had suddenly looked 10 years younger. Dubosc had overheard part of a conversation between him and the stranger.
"You have saved us, mon cher,"
said the general emotionally, his great white moustache trembling as he spoke.
"You have saved the honour of the French army. You have averted much bloodshed. How can I thank you for acceding to my request to have come so far?"
To which the stranger, by name Monsieur Hercule Poirot, had made a fitting reply, including the phrase,
"But indeed do I not remember that once you saved my life?"
And then the general had made another fitting reply to that, disclaiming any merit for that past service, and with more mention of France, of Belgium, of glory, of honour, and of such kindred things, they had embraced each other heartily, and the conversation had ended. As to what it had all been about, Lieutenant Dubosc was still in the dark, but to him had been delegated the duty of seeing off Monsieur Poirot by the Taurus Express, and he was carrying it out with all the zeal and ardour befitting a young officer with a promising career ahead of him.
"Today is Sunday," said Lieutenant Dubosc. "Tomorrow, Monday evening, you will be in Istanbul."
It was not the first time he had made this observation. Conversations on the platform before the departure of a train are apt to be somewhat repetitive in character.
"That is so," agreed Monsieur Poirot. "And you intend to remain there a few days, I think?"
"Mais oui. Istanbul, it is a city I have never visited. It would be a pity to pass through comme ça."
He snapped his fingers descriptively.
"Nothing presses. I shall remain there as a tourist for a few days."
"La Sainte-Sophie, it is very fine," said Lieutenant Dubosc, who had never seen it.
A cold wind came whistling down the platform. Both men shivered. Lieutenant Dubosc managed to cast a surreptitious glance at his watch. 5 minutes to 5, only 5 minutes more. Fancying that the other man had noticed his surreptitious glance, he hastened once more into speech.
"There are few people travelling at this time of year," he said, glancing up at the windows of the sleeping car above them.
"That is so," agreed Monsieur Poirot.
"Let us hope you will not be snowed up in the Taurus."
"That happens?"
"It has occurred, yes. Not this year, as yet."
"Let us hope, then," said Monsieur Poirot. "The weather reports from Europe, they are bad?"
"Very bad. In the Balkans, there is much snow."
"In Germany, too, I have heard."
"Eh bien," said Lieutenant Dubosc hastily, as another pause seemed to be about to occur. "Tomorrow evening at 7:40, you will be in Constantinople."
"Yes," said Monsieur Poirot, and went on desperately. "La Sainte-Sophie, I have heard it is very fine."
"Magnificent, I believe."
Above their heads, the blind of one of the sleeping car compartments was pushed aside, and a young woman looked out. Mary Debenham had had little sleep since she left Baghdad on the preceding Thursday. Neither in the train to Kirkuk, nor in the rest house at Mosul, nor last night on the train had she slept properly. Now, weary of lying wakeful in the hot stuffiness of her overheated compartment, she got up and peered out.
This must be Aleppo.
Nothing to see, of course, just a long, poor-lighted platform with loud, furious altercations in Arabic going on somewhere. Two men below her window were talking French. One was a French officer. The other was a little man with enormous moustaches. She smiled faintly. She had never seen anyone quite so heavily muffled up. It must be very cold outside. That was why they heated the train so terribly. She tried to force the window down lower, but it would not go. The wagon lit conductor had come up to the two men. The train was about to depart, he said. Monsieur had better mount. The little man removed his hat. What an egg-shaped head he had! In spite of her preoccupations, Mary Debenham smiled. A ridiculous-looking little man. The sort of little man one could never take seriously. Lieutenant Dubosc was saying his parting speech. He had thought it out beforehand and had kept it till